crossfade. The Daily Talk Show. A conversation sometimes worth recording with Josh Jensen and Tommy Jacket.
The Daily Talk Show, episode 177.
Hump day.
Yeah, it's Wednesday.
It is. It's a good day. It's a good day to be live, Josh.
Let's give weather chat one last crack at the top of the show. What is the weather like in Melbourne?
Blue sky, cold as hell. Not cold as hell, but it's average.
I
mean,
hell would be hot, I think.
Yeah, I don't think it's up to the Barcelona weather.
Yeah,
do you say you're in Barcelona? Is it like saying you're in Melbourne where you are and you're outside of the city?
Yeah, we're outside of city. We go into Barcelona, you know, each day. But technically being in Terrassa is a tiny bit. It's like a 35-minute train trip to get to Barcelona.
You can get to Frankston in that time almost. Oh, no, that'd be about 40. That'd be about 50 minutes. So you're a fair way out. Have you been down Las Ramblas? Or how have you said it? The main drag? That kind of that.
Mate, I don't remember shit. We did.
Do you remember anything of your trip?
No, I don't.
this is why you should have vlogged it, just so you can remember.
I don't like. I think that there's definitely, you know, we spoke about it early on about being a bad tourist and doing things the wrong way, and I reckon one of them is this desire to have to remember everything, or just like ticking the boxes and saying, okay, yeah, I've like, but like, I think there's a middle ground. I'm a shocker when it comes to remembering what things are. But
No chance. I saw, I needed to check out Michelangelo's tackle. So I went and saw that in, where is it? Florence. The statue of David, I think it is.
Yeah.
And I saw him, took a photo of that, and that's it. No, like, I think I just don't like the lines, and, you know, especially when I haven't been in places for a long time, so I tend not to take the option of, you know, just standing in long queues.
Yeah. So, well, I was wrapped with in Amsterdam. We did Van Gogh, and that was amazing.
Amazing.
Yeah, it was like really well organized. It had like a audio sort of tour, so you would go up to each painting and it would explain where he was in his life. So that was, and I don't know anything about him. So that was good.
Yeah, well, I like the architecture of Barcelona. I'd almost prefer to go and look at beautiful buildings around the city than maybe look at art in a art gallery. But then, yeah, you know, that's, some people would hate doing what I like.
Yeah.
Yeah. Art's a funny one. There's an artist called Basque. It's Basque, Basquet, I think it is. One of his paintings I just read just before, a Japanese billionaire, bought it for like $110 million or something. And I looked at the name of the painting. It's called Untitled. Yeah. Got a bit lazy
all
there.
That money, like, and they don't even bother with the name.
No, but this guy, this billionaire, his name's Yusaku. I think that's how you pronounce it. Japanese mogul of fashion. Opened up a massive fashion, a retail chain or something like that. Made his money in clothes. Anyway, he's going to the moon. He's the first. He's the first citizen, or just you know, everyday punter that isn't a astronaut that has bought. I think it's just like he's helped fund Elon Musk's SpaceX by purchasing these tickets, and he bought all the seats on this thing.
That's like full blown going. Like, I respect it because it's the ultimate experience, isn't it? Like, it's not like a thing. Like, once he goes there, it's not like he's buying property or real estate on the moon. He's literally spending a lot of money on a Kentucky holiday.
And so, he bought the tickets and he says, and it was so weird. I was on YouTube last night and there was just this random video. It was like Elon Musk makes, you know, amazing, crazy, what do you call it, announcement. And so I clicked onto it and it was a brand new video and it was like this hour-long presentation.
Him and Elon the dude Musk just having a bit of weed. Chatting about the moon.
No, Elon was just talking about, they were just revealing this rocket, the BFR, which is, I immediately thought, what does BFR mean? And I wrote that in Trello and you asked me before.
Yeah.
What do you think BFR? It stands for? What do you think it stands for?
I mean, I thought BF being boyfriend, like, because I had no sense of what you were talking about, didn't know it was related to the rocket.
Yeah.
Oh, big fucking rocket, I think is what it is, isn't it?
Well, yeah. I think people that assume that's what it stands for. And when you type it in to Google, it comes up, you know how it's like a section that seems like it's a legit explanation of something.
Yeah.
At the top, it's like a top listing. And it says
Google sort of pulls it out.
--ing rocket. So that's what people obviously think it's fucking. But I've done a bit more digging and people think it's frigging, stands for, big frigging rocket. Big friendly rocket was another one. But it's tongue-in-cheek. I think Elon, he knows what's up. He was
talking about asking questions. My mate who we're staying with here in Spain was telling me how much.
Has asked you to leave?
I was asking him what websites he visits regularly, and did one of the ones that he uses the most, every second day he visits it, is Quora.
Quora, never heard of it.
Quora.com. So Q-U-O-R-A is people asking questions. It's like the fancy Yahoo Answers.
Okay.
So
I've just gone there. I have to sign up, so I'm not doing that. But
I think you should, because I've been signed up for a while. I haven't gone on it that much, but you can people can ask questions like I'm about to go to jail in a week. What do I need to bring? And what happens is the answers aren't just say with Yahoo Answers, you just get dumb people responding, dumb shit and dumb questions. It's just that sort of community. Whereas Quora, people sort of upvote answers, but the answers are also by legit people. So you'd have someone who's a corrections officer responding, make sure you get a dental check because, you know, that's really poor. Where you're going, make sure to bring some books.
Yeah.
Do you think that's pretty cool?
That is cool. I don't know how many people that are going to jail. I mean, maybe if you just got in there for some, you know, insider trading or, you know, tax evasion, you actually were smart.
Computer hacking.
You might opt for the old Quora, but I don't know how many actual just thieves and crooks are going on to this one. But I kind of like it. I mean, I've got a lot of stupid questions that I want answers for.
Throw one out.
Well, I was thinking just on old mate Tesla.
Yeah.
I was thinking, you know, the great thing that they're doing with I was thinking, where does the energy come from for their stations, their electric stations where you can fill up your car with electricity? Is it all solar powered? Is that like in between Melbourne and Victoria, Melbourne and Sydney? There's like the dog on the tucker box is like the mark of the halfway point, and it's really cool because they've got out the back of the service station in this like special area is the Tesla charging station. And I was thinking, do they have like a, because it just looks so basic. You can't see, you know, it doesn't look like mum's house with a, you know, big solar panel system up the top getting electricity. It just looks really sleek and you can't see any power anywhere, like any exposed sort of panels. So I was thinking, where does that power come from?
Mate, I reckon there's something in doing a whole series on just, it's probably already been done, but infrastructure in general. Like, I just don't have a sense of like the cables that must be under the city. Could you imagine? Like, how do it, like the whole water thing, doesn't that blow your mind that like water gets piped to us?
Yeah, it's crazy. I was driving down the beach road here in Melbourne, and I had one of those moments where I was looking at these workers. It was about 6 a.m. in the morning, and they were just doing something to some pipes, and it looked extreme. And I was like, who's the bloke or the woman that has come up with like that technology? Who invented the thing, that machine? Oh, that's right. It was a weird-looking machine that they had. This unusual fucking thing that, like, fed pipe down. I was like, who is that person? Or who is the team that invented that to service that specific thing?
There's got to be a lot of trial and error involved, you would think.
Well, you hope not if it's sewage involved.
Yeah, no, but I'm guessing it's not. It's other places, right? It's been over years and years and years has been sort of worked out.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Slowly as we've needed more infrastructure.
The one thing that I've been Googling all the time everywhere we go is the water drinkable in different places? But I felt like a real idiot because I did it in Amsterdam, and like there was just someone, like someone had asked a question. Someone's like, how stupid are you? Like, the Dutch invented, you know, like fucking purifying water, like, or some shit, like just saying, like, and I'm so glad that I didn't ask like my relative that I was catching up with, because I feel like it's almost like a little bit of an offensive question. Like,
yeah. There's no dumb questions. I mean, there is. And they are, there's a lot of dumb questions, but as in, yeah, it's okay to ask, but it's nice to just hide under the blankets when someone else outs themselves as the dummy first. Well, but mate, you don't want to end up with spitty bum. Is that what you call it?
Yeah, spitty bum would be a disaster. But I just, everyone geeks out at different things. Like, even though I'm really dumb when it comes to, you know, where we're going to and remembering names, I think about it. It's like while we're traveling, I'm learning different pieces of software. Like, I've got an app on my phone that I'm using to learn stuff. And so I think that that's like, you don't need to. Don't you think there's a bit of a pressure to know everything about everything?
Well, we may soon one day, thanks to Elon Musk. He's got, I mean, this is not just an episode spruiking his business, different businesses, but Neuralink, his company, it's like that. It's, what does he talk about?
Well, it's like Google, having Google connected to your fucking head or whatever.
Yeah, essentially. And then you wouldn't ever not know something because you could just, but unless the Wi-Fi was bad.
There's a massive difference.
And then you're a real dumbass. Oh, shit, Wi-Fi's down. I'm a dumbass again.
Everyone gets really... Everyone gets really dumb when they go under like in a tunnel, so like on a train. You want to call someone out, you just wait until you're on, you know, underground. But I think the weird thing about that is like there's a difference between memory and connecting it to something versus just being able to pull it from the ether, don't you think?
I know what you mean, but maybe the problem with our brains are that we don't have enough space or we don't have enough capacity for, you know, holding on to all of these things because there's so much information. And so if we just have access to it, if the problem isn't having the space, you know, having the connection to the internet, then it doesn't really matter about, you know, memory on a large scale for recalling a bunch of things. Because maybe you would have space to, maybe you'd just be holding different pieces of memory and information.
You need to be able to connect all those things up, right? Like when I was at the conference a few days ago in Amsterdam, there was I was going up to all these booths and I had no idea about like what I was trying to ask. I think that's the hard thing when you it's okay to not know something, but when you don't know something enough that you can't, you don't even know the right question to ask, I think that that's like, so I'll just go up to booths where I'm like trying to understand, you know, audio engineering stuff and how different sort of studio configurations work and how they sort of play nicely with like live streaming. I'll just be like, so tell me, just tell me like about your product and then I'll just ask you some questions.
Yeah, I think that's a good approach.
Yeah.
I mean, it might be annoying for the person at the booth.
Well,
if every single person that they ever interact with, but I guess.
Well, I sort of would explain that, like, you know, I'm in this weird middle ground in the sense of like, I'm not TV, I'm not radio. It's sort of this new media stuff. I don't want it. Like some of their solutions, it would be like for a, to set up a streaming solution, it might be $30,000 where I know that I can get the different elements and parts from say a company like Blackmagic for maybe $10,000 and set up the same thing. So there is these solutions have come up like specifically in that like camera live switching for radio where what you're paying for is just an all-in-one solution that I guess the engineer at the radio station doesn't have to, you know, do a bunch of training with all of their staff on how to use it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you've got a great gauge of, I think you, imagine me there. That would have been like, who's this idiot? This guy's got no clue. Do you even know where you are, mate? Fuck, I thought I was at Auto Salon.
What's Auto Salon?
Auto Salon was a old school car show in Melbourne at the, and I think it was around Australia.
Oh, that's like right.
Jeff's Shed, the exhibition building, just.
Was that skylined. Different to the car show?
It was a car show, but I don't think it was called, it wasn't called the car show. It was called Auto Salon. And they had a magazine back when magazines were pumping and I used to buy them.
They were sort of like gangster cars and shit, like a lot really lowered and getting kits and shit.
I mean, some call them gangsters. I mean, they're just nerds that are into cars. They're not like low rider cars like from a gangster movie.
I mean gamers, not gangsters.
Yeah. I've just found a few questions on that site, Quora.
Yeah, Quora, yeah.
This is a really dumb one. How do companies lose customers? Writing stupid questions like that.
Yeah, but maybe that's, I think that that like there's no such thing as a stupid question is true, because in the sense of someone can then go into theories around what customer service is about or retention, that sort of thing.
Oh, yeah. And this one, what is the opposite word for together?
Separate.
Yeah, separate, segment, apart, that's one of them.
I don't know if that's a great use, because surely you can just use like a thesaurus and...
And then people asking for like moments. What was the best drop the mic moment you've witnessed in a business meeting? And so it is a good platform to like get great stories from too.
Yeah,
that's cool. See, this is the problem. You sent me down a rabbit hole. I'll spend a solid hour on this.
It's so good. Like I remember, so when I was working at Invato, I would actually use Quora to work out the most popular questions. So, say around creativity, I would sort by most popular and then I would make videos specifically on those types of things and then I'd post the answers as a video. So, you knew that there was already a built-in audience and there was also a bit of interest.
That's great. Solid strategy.
Yeah. But I think that Quora, it's a bit like... I mean, I've never gotten into, and I've wanted to, but I think that it's probably not necessarily the best habit, but Reddit. I've never been the type of, you know, there's some people who, like our mate James probably uses some of those forums and sites or whatever it is all the time, whereas like I've visited Reddit maybe once a month type of deal. But there's people who it's like that's their social networking of choice, just fucking talking to strangers on there.
So James's suggestion for us is to start our own Reddit. So
like a subreddit.
Yes, it's created the Daily Talk Show subreddit. It'd be great if that's where your audience lives.
That's not a bad idea, actually, thinking about what you could do, because then people could submit stories and then people could basically have a hand in shaping what we're talking about.
And his thinking is that our audience can actually talk to each other on that platform. So you can
comment.
You can comment back to each other as people who listen to this show about a moment, and then stuff can be voted up. It is good. It's one of those things, creating your own, you know, so that there's so many strategies if you have a creative endeavor, podcast, YouTube channel, Facebook page, where you can think about how do you increase your viewership, listenership, whatever it be, build your tribe and go out and sort of do the mechanics and do the strategy yourself. But then when you see people who are successful in this place, people do it for them. So it's like, do you go and create it first? Do we go and do a Reddit page and get it ready? Or do you focus on building the show between you and I and it blow up and someone else does it? I don't know. What do you think about that?
Well, I think that the biggest misstep I think that people make in this sort of space is they do 10 episodes of something and then they create a Patreon and they just don't have the audience to be able to be making money. Like Patreon, for people don't know, is a service where people can back you. So, for instance, you could say every month I want to give the Daily Talk Show $5 a month, and in return that gives you access to certain things. So we might say for $5 a month, you'll get an email into your inbox every week of the best parts of the show. For $10 a month, you'll get that plus a live Q&A on Google Hangouts or something like that. But I think that people think, okay, I need this, I need that, and they add all of these bits and pieces when at the beginning they just need to – the best thing that they can do is just have an audience listening to them.
Yeah. Yeah, true.
But I love this Reddit idea because it reminds me, you know how when we started I referenced one of my favorite shows growing up that was online. It was called Dig Nation and it was started in around 2004, 2005. And it was just a guy named Kevin Rose who founded Dig.com and another guy, Alex Albrecht, who's sort of a gaming dude. And what they would do is they would go every week and they would do the top stories on dig.com. So it'd be the equivalent of today. Like dig.com and Reddit were sort of competing. And at the time, I think Dig was actually even bigger than Reddit. So if you went to a website, remember how you would embed a like button on an article or something on a blog post?
Yeah.
Do you remember that? So, like, especially for me who was, like, making, like, I had a blog, you'd have, like, these social buttons where people couldn't just share the post, but there was a time where I think they may have shut it down. I haven't seen it in a long time. But you'd actually be able to like a blog post of being away from Facebook. And there was a button that was a dig this button. And so it'd be basically, like, submitting it to Dig or sort of upvoting it. Anyway, cool. So Dig Nation would just do the top story. Every week they would just cover the top stories on Dig. So the equivalent of us going on to Reddit and doing the top stories.
Learning Reddit is another thing. I don't think it's too hard. Have you spent much time on Reddit?
Yeah, I mean, like as I said, not too much, but it's a very easy platform to understand. You've got categories that are like subreddits, and so you could be in the subreddit that's, you know, documentaries, or subreddit like filmmaking or podcasting, and you can see everyone talking. I think that part of the risk with some of these things is you can I'm not into like the conspiracy. I'm guessing Jimmy gets right into like the conspiracy theorist subreddits.
I'm sure he's dabbling there.
Yeah. And I think that maybe that's a little bit harder. I think that maybe this sort of community, like it thrives with that sort of stuff. But
maybe yeah, I'm just looking at Reddit now, and I know I felt this in the past when I've gone to the site. It's not a visually appealing website. Like it's text heavy. It's like the old format blog sites.
But that's sometimes the RSS best.
Feeds. Yeah, 100% for this kind of information. But I know that it's probably a bad habit, but like, you know, it's like looking through a newspaper and you're kind of just flicking the pages until something grabs your eye and it's most likely some image. So you're relying on it, not the written form to capture your attention. Whereas these are very much you're reading, you have to read all the headlines. Like there's this one headline.
You can be okay?
Not really, Joshy. I need a handhold. Number one, this is number one on Reddit homepage.
Yeah.
And it's been voted 23,000 times. In houses where household disinfectants are used at least weekly, babies have different gut bacteria and are more likely to be overweight at age 3. Mm. And that's from the medicine category. Interesting.
So I'm looking at my account and it says, it says your account is too new to create a subreddit, which is fucking, it's definitely not too new because I've probably had it since for like 10 years, but, or maybe 6 or 7 years. Cause that's right. When I was working on, Fifi and Jules, the radio show, that was sort of a tactic was if we had any big guests on, you'd go onto Reddit and you would add it. But, Let's get Jimmy to get the Daily Talk Show subreddit because he'll have enough points.
No, I don't think he does. I don't think he actually signs in.
Are you fucking kidding me?
I don't think he likes to sign in. I don't think because to reply, like you can go on as a user without logging in, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And it's more just to actually interact and stuff. I'll have to double check, but I'm pretty sure I asked him at that point, he smashed his phone on the table and started hitting it with a hammer and said, they're listening. No, I'm joking.
that would be something.
I love you, James.
Talking about the phone, are you updated to iOS 12?
No, I haven't yet. Should I?
It's awesome. I love it. And it doesn't feel like for the first few seconds, it like took a little bit to swipe across. Like it seemed a little bit delayed. I'm like, fuck you, Apple. But
looking
after
out.
That... The actually my favorite feature, this is the number one thing so far, is it has integration for services like LastPass. So you know how Apple has Keychain and you'd be able to just access your password from Keychain?
Yep.
So I didn't want to use Apple's Keychain. That's not where all my passwords are. My passwords are with LastPass. And so now you can go to if you go to a website, you can. There's a little button that says passwords on the top of the keyword, a keyboard. You click on that, and then it logs you into LastPass. You use your thumbprint, and it autofills.
That's sick.
Yeah,
that's so much easier because I use LastPass too. To be honest,
and the other
somehow I have heaps of passwords in that keychain or whatever it is. I didn't even know what was happening.
Yeah, I don't like I would like to clean that shit up. Even after getting the that email with the password, I was like, I need to there's probably half a dozen accounts I still have that are super old that I've just never updated. So I just want to go in and I'm going to create new passwords for all the other stuff as well.
Yeah, I think it's that requires some dedicated time, sitting down, like locking your time out and almost creating a spreadsheet. Because if I look in my LastPass, the amount of different things that I have a password for, it's only until you start keeping those, having a service like LastPass that you realize, holy shit, no one could remember that except Todd Sampson.
Yeah, Todd Sampson. But he's not going to be around just to remember our passwords, I don't think. That'd be handy. I don't know if he'd be into it.
He was on a show called Brain Training. Or he had a TV show called Brain Training? Train Your Brain?
Train Your Brain, I think. And he's got, I can't remember, Retrain Your Brain, yeah?
Unbelievable.
Yeah, very good. Remember the whole brain elasticity or whatever you call it.
Yeah, he learned how to remember a whole deck of cards in the order that he was shown. So cool.
He's either got some sort of memory show or he's just bought a magic trick from Penguin Magic. How's just quickly, 7-Eleven video, how's it going?
I didn't get to that yesterday, but I did post it, mm-hmm. blown it wide open. The video, in short, is basically showing that 7-Eleven have a range of coffees, $1, $2, and $3, and each of them are different sizes, medium, large, supersized. And me and Ryan John, we bought a supersized, the $3 one, and then had a cup, which was the $2 cup, and the $3 coffee fits into the $2 sized coffee. So it's like, why are you paying the extra dollar?
Have you had anyone comment with a theory on why that's the case?
No, but I did message 7-Eleven. Mm. I sent this message this morning to 7-Eleven and said, "Hi, I'm just wondering why a $3 coffee fits into a $2 cup. Please explain. Yep. Thanks."
And they wrote back yet?
No, they wrote back. And here's the thing. I posted the video onto my Instagram as well. Yeah. And I got a message back. I tagged them in the post, right? But I didn't send a direct message like I did on Facebook. They wrote back to the Instagram account first, and then I saw it come up in my Facebook account, and they just copied and pasted. They literally copied and pasted exactly what they wrote on the Insta. So you can tell it's such a generic response as well.
Do you think we can talk yet about the copy and paste incident that we had yesterday, or is that too fresh with clients?
We'll draw that one out. Let that still playing out.
Yeah, exactly. It's a daily talk show, everyone.
Oh, hang on, I got to read 7-Eleven's response.
Oh yeah, what do they say?
So mine was just asking.
Can I just quickly say how I'm doing that a lot? I'm getting to the daily talk show happy.
Yeah, you so are.
Yeah,
it's a good name. Like the name. It's a tick now. You just say the daily talk show.
Yeah.
I keep thinking you're finishing the show. Far out. So 7-Eleven said, 7-Eleven's coffee is outstanding value for our customers. Simple $1, $2, $3 price points based around industry standard cup sizes. Depending on the product the customer selects, there are different ratios of coffee, hot milk, and milk foam. And the foam does settle over time. That was it.
Yeah, sure. I mean, do you think that sort of puts an end to it being blown right out? Does that sort of make sense, I guess, doesn't it?
I mean, for me, I don't think it doesn't satisfy me.
Well, it's like literally you're paying an extra buck or whatever for the foam. If you like foam, you get that. It's like if you a large coffee, if you want a stronger coffee, you don't get a large. You would get a small with it, like a double shot.
Yeah. And then, yeah, I mean, people are getting into it on my Insta saying, writing to 7-Eleven.
Disgusting.
Assuming your $1, $2, and $3 is an industry standard small, medium, and large, what are the cup units in regards to volume in milliliters? I mean, this is the conversation. This is the fight I've picked.
Can you actually maybe give it a crack with McDonald's? I want to see McCafe. Does the same shit happen with them?
Well, they're machine, so you could just say you want it filled higher if they fucked it up.
What do you mean?
7-Eleven are DIY machines.
Yeah.
At McDonald's, they're baristas. Mm-hmm. So they're like, so there's not a comparison to McDonald's, I don't think. Mm-hmm. Because
are
it's
there any
the
other
same.
Big companies doing the machines?
Coles, yeah, they're okay. doing it too.
Okay, so you got to blow that one right open.
We could come down hard on them.
Maybe wait until Amy decides to move on for a current job with yeah. her client.
Yeah, definitely true.
This is how you can tell that I'm slowly getting back into work because all of a sudden we're starting to think about all of our clients and all the shit that we can't say anymore.
Yeah, true.
But can I say it's a daily talk show now, do you think? Or
yeah, go for it. And
it's a daily talk show, everyone. Do you know what we haven't plugged in a while? The email address, hi@thedailytalkshow.com. So,
and the PO I'm very box, keen please.
I'm keen to get this subreddit going. I think that's an awesome way to actually manage what we talk about. Like just as a yeah. way of each day we can go in and pick bits and pieces. And here you go. I've got a cake. My cake day for my Reddit account is actually July 21, 2011. That's when I signed up to Reddit. Apparently my account is still too new to create a subreddit.
How old do you have to be? Early adopters only.
Yeah, it's fucking
only.
7 years old. So my guess is it's probably just because my activity, I've literally posted two, three, four things on my account.
Well, hurry up and start trolling a few more people and then they'll allow it.
Perfect. All right, well, I'll try and work this out because by tomorrow I want us up and running with a subreddit because I think that's I love that idea, Jimmy. Let's make it happen. It's a daily talk show. Have a good one. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye.